Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this Sunday, which celebrates the Epiphany of the Lord. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Matthew and read and discuss the Word of Life for January. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Rockport's La Palma Event Center will be transformed into a woodland wonderland for Sacred Heart School's 2020 Winter Gala on Saturday, January 25th. From 5:30 to 11 p.m., patrons will enjoy appetizers, dinner, and dessert with reserved seating throughout the evening. At this fundraiser, you can preview, review, and bid on amazing items from generous donors during the live, silent, and Chinese, as well as the online auction. Entertainment and music for dancing will be provided by the Texas Continentals. Individual tickets and tables are available at the school office in Rockport or by calling 361-729-2682.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and happy January to you.
Thank you. Happy Feast of the Epiphany of the Lord.
Yes, yes. It's a beautiful Sunday.
It really is.
So as I mentioned in the beginning, our gospel is from St. Matthew, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 2. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage.' After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as you were reading this, Bishop, I was thinking about how many of us now can put our three kings in our nativity sets.
Yeah.
Because they shouldn't be out before this Sunday.
Well, yes, they can't, should not. But anyway, I mean, if you're going to follow the timeline, but most people complete the set long before. But anyway, yeah, you're right. It is the day of the coming of the Magi from afar.
Mm-hmm. So it was interesting to me as I was reading about this. They said that the Magi were Gentiles from foreign land, and they relied on their study of heavenly signs, and that's how they got the sign that there was, you know, there was a king that they needed to visit.
Yes, these phenomenon that are part of this is certainly things that cannot be explained in so many words. But obviously, I look at this at a deeper level, in the sense that they represent every person who is seeking God in their life, which is every person, every man, woman, and child. That's the way we are created. In our hearts, created in God's image, we're created for him. So whether we have faith or not, and in this sense, the Gentiles, these men from afar, did not really know that faith. We don't know exactly what they believed in, but they were searching for something more to satisfy that longing, what St. Augustine so beautifully spoke of when he said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you." And that restlessness that every human being experiences is what's calling inside of us to be satisfied. I don't know what other word to use, but to be satisfied. It's looking for something for fulfillment. And unfortunately, so many people may find other things to fulfill that longing. But it's through faith and certainly the gift of Jesus Christ in his word, in his Eucharist, in his sacraments, in his presence that is the only thing that can satisfy ultimately when we understand it properly, that deep, deep longing inside of us.
Mm-hmm. And so, of course, they went to see King Herod, and King Herod was very curious because he thought he was very powerful, and he thought that there was, to hear word that there's another king kind of upset him a little bit.
Well, you can imagine in this country, if you said the president heard there was another president, he would get a little anxious.
Right.
Who is this person? Where is he? What's he going to do? And so, again, Herod is looking at it from a purely material, personal way, not anything that may be regarding the divine. So he's looking at human power, his own human power being challenged, and that creates a great concern for him. I think, again, I mean, I wanted to mention today that I've completed a pastoral letter for the diocese, and although the copy for everyone is not available this Sunday as I had hoped, it is coming very soon. But the pastors of the parishes, the priests, have a copy, rough draft. Well, it's not a rough draft. It's the final, but it's not in the formatted copy. But they have it. But part of one of the points that I make there is that we need to look deeper into life and not just take it so superficially. You know, we look at even the sacraments of the church and we see the motion, we see the word, we hear the words, we see the actions. But for us with faith, we have to ask, what's happening here? What is this? What is happening when I go to Mass and hear the words, "This is my body, this is my blood," and coming to receive communion, body of Christ? What is the true reality there? Is it just emotion? Is it just something that I'm used to and that I become accustomed to? Or is there something deeper happening there? The same with the reality of the Word of God. We can read it as if it's some kind of a textbook. Mm-hmm. We can study it. We can examine it. We can pull it apart. And we can pray and meditate. But what is it asking of me? So is something deeper. And I think the story of the Magi, the account of the Magi coming to Jesus, they were coming for something deeper in life, and they found it in him. A small person who over time in 33 years of life would give direction and meaning to people's lives. But that takes, we walk by faith, not by sight. So when we narrow our life down to just sight, what I can see, hear, touch, feel, the senses, I might miss something that's much, much deeper because we're created for something more. And that more is mysteriously hidden in Jesus Christ and what he can offer us.
And, you know, as it's said in this gospel, the Magi obviously had faith and had some intuition because they knew that they shouldn't return
right
back the way they came. I mean, they intuitively knew they
needed
to go
sensitive.
Home a different
yeah.
way.
Right, yeah. Exactly, yeah. And having been warned in a dream. So they were obviously mm-hmm. in tune to something deeper inside themselves. Mm-hmm. Or beyond themselves, not to return, and they obeyed that. Mm-hmm. That's the point, that we're in touch with a voice, the voice of God, at a deeper level than just what we can surmise and figure out for life.
Mm-hmm. Part of what I was reading to prepare for this said the Magi's own birth as followers of Jesus occurred as they offered homage to the child. And they went forth to proclaim him to the world. We too are born as Christians in our act of giving homage to Christ and in bringing his presence to the world.
Yeah, I mean, we hear today the phrase that I was reborn.
Right.
You know, and it's yes, we're, you know, when something is awakened in us that was already there. I mean, you know, when we think of our baptism as infants, you know, it's already there. The spirit of Jesus, the life of God. We're all children of God, but through baptism, the life of Jesus Christ enters into us. So it's there. At a certain point, as we walk through life, it doesn't mean it wasn't always there, because you can see, you can hear beautiful things come out of the mouths of babes. I mean, this is, I've been converted many times through that. But at a certain point in life, we do kind of have an awakening of what really is in us and what is possible for us. And so that's what many would call a new birth, a rebirth in the Spirit of God. It's not that I went back into the womb, but by the grace of God, something has awakened in me so that I see things different, I experience life differently. And obviously the Magi arriving at the crib, at the manger with Jesus, something happened in their life where they were awakened to something beautiful. That was something more than just existing in this world. And of course, you know, we always have to, I think, recognize, especially at this time of year, that it's not just recounting stories of Jesus's birth, but it's also giving us that longing for his return. So almost the Magi today represent to us ourselves as Magi walking toward, looking for, searching for Jesus, present in the world today. As he said, I'm with you always. But to have that encounter with Jesus Christ, and that's what it is, the Magi encountered God. And that's what our life is as the Magi represented by them, is looking and to encounter God in the simplest of ways, in the surprising ways, also in the church, in the sacraments, in the Word of God, in the coming together as the body of Christ. All of this is an encounter with the presence of God, and that's what happened with the Magi. Their life was changed.
We've talked about this a lot on this program, Bishop, and you've mentioned it. The Magi were present, so they were present and they understood what was appearing in front of them, so we need to be present also.
Right.
And in order to be aware.
Sure. I mean, present to God in the present moment, if you want to put a complicated formula to it. But, you know, living in the present moment. Many of us live in the past, and many of us project ourselves into the future, always looking to what can be and not what is. Living in the present moment with its stresses, with its joys, with its challenges, that's where we find God. That's where we encounter God. Not tomorrow, not yesterday. But right now, whatever our listeners are doing right now, understand yourself in the presence of God and encounter him now, today. That will help us to understand better Epiphany, the awakening of God inside of us.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for January. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The 2020 Black and Gold Gala, in support of St. John Paul II High School, is shaping up to be bigger and better than ever. The date is Saturday, February 1st, 6 p.m., at the L&F Distributors Warehouse on Highway 44 near the airport. Attendees will enjoy a delightful dinner, silent and live auctions, as well as the excitement of a fast-action casino party. Proceeds, of course, benefit the students of St. John Paul II High School, which provides a Catholic education that is accessible, affordable, and available. St. John Paul II High School, grounded in faith, reason, and virtue. For sponsorship, table, and ticket information, visit jpiihighschool.org or call 361-855-5744.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, this is the first Sunday of 2020, and so we have our Word of Life for January. And once again, it's another wonderful phrase for us to reflect on this month.
So we do. The Word of Life for January is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 28. They showed us unusual kindness. After 2 weeks adrift, 267 shipwrecked people finally reached the shores of a Mediterranean island. They were soaking wet, exhausted, and terrified. In their near brush with death, they had experienced their powerlessness against the forces of nature. Among them was a prisoner heading toward Rome to undergo the judgment of the emperor. This isn't one of today's news stories. It happened to St. Paul the Apostle, who was being taken to Rome, where he would crown his mission as an evangelizer through the witness of martyrdom. He was sustained by his unshakable faith in divine providence. Despite being a prisoner himself, he managed to support and to encourage all his companions in their misfortune until they ran aground on the beach in Malta. The people of the island welcomed them and lit a huge bonfire so that they could gather around it and warm themselves. The islanders then looked after them during the winter for about 3 months, after which they gave them all they needed to continue their journey safely. They showed them unusual kindness. Paul and his other shipwrecked survivors experienced practical care and kindness from people who had not yet received the light of the gospel. The welcome they received was not rushed and impersonal, but genuinely helpful to the visitors, and showed no cultural, religious, or social prejudice. This could only happen through the involvement of each and every member of the entire community. The capacity to accept others as part of every person's DNA, because we all bear within us the image of the merciful Father. This is the case for those who have a strong Christian faith and those who do not. It is a law written in the human heart, which the Word of God has brought to light and developed from the time of Abraham right up to Jesus' revelation. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. The Lord Himself gives us strength through His grace so that our fragile will can reach the fullness of Christian love. Through this experience, Paul also teaches us to trust in God's providential intervention and to recognize and appreciate in all the good we receive through the concrete and love of many people who come across our path. They showed us unusual kindness. This verse from the Acts of the Apostles was proposed by Christians from various churches on the island of Malta as the motto for the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity 2020. By working together, these communities support numerous initiatives that help migrants and people in need. They distribute food, clothing, and toys for children. They give English language lessons to enable social inclusion. They want to strengthen this capacity for acceptance, but also to nurture fellowship among Christians belonging to different churches so as to bear witness to their shared faith. And how do we bear witness to God's love to those around us? How do we contribute to build up united families, supportive cities, and truly humane societies? This is what Kara Lubick, the founder of the Focolare, suggested in a commentary from December of 1986, and we quote, "Jesus showed us that loving means accepting others as they are, just as He welcomed each one of us. We can welcome others with their likes and their dislikes, their ideas, their faults, and their diversity. We can make space in ourselves for others by overcoming prejudice, judgment, or an attitude of rejection that may be in our hearts. We give no greater glory to God than when we strive to accept our neighbors, because it is then that we lay the foundations of fellowship. Nothing gives as much joy to God as true unity among peoples. Unity attracts the presence of Jesus among us, and His presence transforms everything. So let us approach each neighbor, intending to welcome them with all our heart and lay the basis for a relationship of mutual love."
I think that's a perfect line for us to reflect on for this January of 2020, to be kind, you know, and I thought unusual kindness.
You know, it's one of those realities or concepts that we have to be kind. And I loved the part at the beginning. I have to see if I can find it here, where it says that even in Paul's experience, it was not a rushed, impersonal experience. Sometimes, and I'm not judging because I do it myself, that our kindness can be a routine smile, a routine, how are you? How are you today? And we rush by. Mm-hmm. And so it is an act of kindness, but it can be a little bit impersonal. To be able to stop and look at a person eye to eye, waste a little time, as they would say, is genuine for any person. But you know, Barbara, that act of kindness is really summed up, I think, in the word of welcome, mm-hmm. and that is so needed, you know, in our church, in our world. I mean, we even look at our own parishes and wanting to become welcoming communities. We get caught up in our routines. We get caught up in the associations that we have, the people that we know, the groups, and that can kind of make us stale. Not always, but it sometimes it does. It's not intentional. I think it's just because, actually, in my pastoral letter, I refer to the drama of routine. We've always done it this way. It's just the way we are, et cetera. And sometimes that revolves around what's comfortable. Right. That we look for a comfortable life, and I think we need to be honest about that. We all, because we put ourselves at the center of life, and so what's comfortable I can do. What's not comfortable, so you can imagine these 267 shipwrecked people having St. Paul in the midst of them, but not knowing that. Arriving at your back door, mm-hmm. and what would our kindness look like? Right. Throw a little bread out there and say, have a good day, or, you know, really set the table and welcoming them. So I think really what you're saying is true, especially as we start 2020, it could be a definite resolution for us that we go that little extra step, that extra mile, and not just tossing something, a smile or a hello or whatever, even things material to someone. I don't mean toss in the negative sense, but, you know, in the routine way, but maybe stop and how are you? You may be late for an appointment, as I am often, but, you know, spending time with people, mm-hmm. people we don't know, people that look down, spend time. I think that's what this is saying. They showed us unusual kindness. They gave unusual amount of time to us. They went beyond themselves. They stepped over their time limit. They stepped over their talents and did things what may seem impossible. That's what Christianity is all about, going beyond. And I love the word, that, as you pointed it out, the unusual kindness. And I think if we all made an effort this year to do that, to spend time, lose time, lose our judgments, lose our whatever it is, to be with the other person, we can create a better society and a more welcoming church and a more welcoming communities.
You know how they, in the past Christmas season, they always have the commercials, and this one commercial I saw was Hallmark cards, you know, and it was the widowed neighbor, widower, who refused to be around with the family, and they gave him a card. And that just opened up his heart.
Right.
You know, just that small act of kindness.
Yeah. And that not only affects that person, but, you know, I mean, even the people watching those commercials are affected by that.
Yeah.
But also the person that does it.
Right.
You know, you just see the response that little, and you know it's beyond you. It's so small. I think this is something to think of. An act like that is so tiny, but having the effect that it does is beyond that tiny effort. You know it's not from you then. The effect or the result of that is way beyond our effort of just doing something simple. But the more simple it is, I'm reading a little bit of St. Teresa of Lisieux, and the more simple these acts of kindness are, the more unusual they are, and the more effective they are.
And as you say, for both people.
Yes, you right.
Know, it brings,
both sides, yeah.
It
has an effect to others around everybody.
It brings joy.
It's amazing.
Thank you, Bishop. We're going to end our program this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
So a resolution for all of us, gang out there, unusual kindness, going beyond.
Yes, definitely.
It's the cheerleader in me this morning. So let us pray. O God, who on this day revealed your only begotten Son to all the nations by the guidance of a star, grant in your mercy that we, who know you already by faith, may be brought to behold the beauty of your sublime glory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you today and throughout this year. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.